the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
You've heard it made here or stated here on Issues Etc. many times. When we're talking about the historical reliability and the transmission of the New Testament, we or our guests have made the case that if you look at the number of extant, that is, things that we can actually have in our hand, manuscript copies of the New Testament dating back 20 centuries. If you look at them, they're a mountain, the New Testament manuscripts are, compared to other ancient manuscripts that are also considered historically reliable and whose transmission is not seriously questioned by scholars. Now, in making any case, you don't want to overstate your case. You don't want to understate your case. You want to make your case with accurate data. So that's called the bibliographical test, where you compare the mountain with the molehill. But we got to make sure that we're really comparing the real manuscript evidence there, and we're really comparing the real numbers on those manuscripts. So we need to update the test a little bit. And joining us to do that, Dr. Clay Jones, Associate Professor in the Master of Arts in Christian Apologetics Program at Biola University in La Mirada, California, and he's author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal called The Bibliographical Test Updated. Dr. Jones, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Even though it needs updating, and I agree with you that we ought to really always operate with the best information, just for our own credibility's sake, if nothing else, is it still a good test? Is it still a good way of talking about the reliability and the transmission of the New Testament documents?
Absolutely. That hasn't changed even slightly, even though some of the numbers of the other manuscripts have changed. I mean, the New Testament is still far and away, excels them all. When it comes to the earliness of the manuscripts that we have, and then the tremendous number of the manuscripts when both are compared to other ancient documents. So yeah, we have no reason to lose any confidence in this whatsoever.
Now, to be clear, and we always need to make this particular warning, we're not talking in the case of the New Testament documents or in the case of other ancient documents, of autographs. We're talking about manuscripts. What's the difference?
Right. Nobody. The autograph, of course, is what was originally handwritten by the author. You know, I mean, he actually sat down and wrote it. Of course, we don't think we have the autograph of any ancient work, not just the New Testament or the Bible. We don't have, and the reason for that is very simply, of course, it would have been read to pieces, literally read to pieces, as they're passing it around, and immediately, because they realized the New Testament authors and the disciples at the time thought this is indeed the Word of God. Well, people, of course, immediately would grab it and say, let me start making a copy of this immediately and start passing it around. And, of course, papyri is fairly durable, but it's not going to take that long before it just simply is, as I said, read to pieces.
I mean, one comparison we might make just for the sake of impact is that as we approach the Independence Day holiday, people are wondering, you know, what about the Declaration of Independence? Well, you know, we have one of the originals.
Yes.
But it is so faded even after 200-plus years and almost illegible in only that very short amount of time. And it's had a really good pedigree of transmission.
Yes, I mean, it has.
It's been very well cared for, at least for the last 100 years it has been.
You know, it's interesting, though. I've actually held ancient documents, 2,000-year-old, 1,900-year-old ancient manuscripts in my hands. And I just recently I got to see some biblical manuscripts, and of course you can go to the Dead Sea Scroll exhibits, and for some reason it turns out that some of these actually look better than the Declaration of Independence for some strange reason. I don't know what ink or whatever happened to the Declaration, but it just, anyway, if you go to like a Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit or whatever where you're actually seeing the real deal, they actually look better than the Declaration of Independence.
So what are we talking about? I mean, how would you summarize the so-called mountain of manuscripts that we have in New Testament? And then let's make an accurate comparison to other documents of antiquity.
Well, we have at least the latest count that they've actually published by the Institute for New Testament Research in Münster, Germany, is 5,795 manuscripts of the New Testament. And some of these, of course, are just small fragments, but some of them are pretty large, and they're the ones that are cataloging all this. The second largest work when it comes to manuscripts is Homer's Iliad, which has gone from what the famously reported, I mean, in fact, I mentioned in the article that if you Google Homer, or Iliad, rather, 643 manuscripts, I found 143,000 sites mentioning that, and the first 100 were all about it is being about the reliability of the New Testament. Anyway, that number has now gone to 1,757. That's still considerably smaller than 5,795. But then we have much, much, much more than that. For instance, Homer's Iliad I think the first copy we have of Homer's Iliad in Latin was from the 9th century, whereas we have, the commonly stated number among scholars is over 10,000 copies of the New Testament, manuscripts of the New Testament in Latin alone. And so they're immediately taking the New Testament and translating it into other languages. I mean, and this is where it completely dwarfs Homer and other and similar kinds of manuscripts is just the amount of immediate translation into other languages. And of course, we can use those other languages then to compare the accuracy of the transmission.
So that's Homer's Iliad. It's the contrast there is between earliest manuscript and number of manuscripts.
Yes,
there.
Right.
And that's the best that we've got.
That's the best when it comes to sheer, you know, there's some others that might have, Thucydides is a little closer, but when it comes to sheer manuscript attestation, certainly Homer's Iliad has the best when it comes to sheer manuscript attestation, and again, that's dwarfed by the New Testament.
Do we find in Homer's Iliad, to use that best of examples, do we find the same kind of variance that we find in manuscripts of the New Testament?
Oh, absolutely. Certainly there's, most of the variants, as with the New Testament, the variants are generally small, but there's just as many, page by page, manuscript by manuscript. In fact, just as you have New Testament scholars doing textual research on the New Testament and trying to put together the best possible text, there is an entire group of Homer scholars, Homeric scholars, that are doing exactly the same thing, trying to get back to what they would consider the best possible text. And so, absolutely.
So the arguments like Bart Ehrman makes against the New Testament, where he says, there's hardly a verse, hardly a line in the originals that doesn't have some sort of variant in there. And he tries to kind of ham-fistedly, what I'm convinced is better knowledge on his part, to say, that many variants, we cannot be dealing with anything close to an original.
It's interesting to me, and I'm not sure whether Ehrman was doing his best skeptical thinking when he did this, but Bruce Metzger died just a few years ago, one of the greatest New Testament scholars ever, and really extremely conservative in his approach to the Bible and believed it was accurately transmitted. And he made a statement that Ehrman then came on basically and co-wrote the book with Metzger. And just a brief quote here is amazing. Now, so Erman has his name on this. This is now co-authored by Metzger and Erman. Listen to what Metzger agrees with. At least he wrote this just a few years ago, or agreed to it. In contrast with these figures, and that's comparing it to other ancient works, the textual critic of the New Testament is embarrassed by a wealth of material. Furthermore, the work of many ancient authors has been preserved only in manuscripts that date from the Middle Ages, sometimes the late Middle Ages, far from the time that they lived and wrote. On the contrary, the time between the composition of the books of the New Testament and the earliest extant copies is relatively brief. Instead of a large lapse of a millennium or more, as is in the case of not a few classical authors, several papyrus manuscripts or portions of the New Testament are extant that were copied within a century or so after the composition of the original documents. And so here you have Erman, not that long ago, just a few years ago, signing on to Bruce Metzger's famous work, and agreeing in that statement that the New Testament critic is embarrassed by a wealth of documentary evidence. And I think that's amazing. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if Erman doesn't regret that. And I'm hearing lately that he's beginning to tell people that are challenging him, Christians that are challenging him, that he's no longer going to put up. With them telling him or quoting his prior opinion to them, but to him. But anyway, I think that's bizarre. But that's where I think it is right now.
I can go to my own library here. I can go to any library and I can pull off a copy, an English translation of Tacitus, and it's really a remarkable bit of history
right, from
a Roman perspective. How well attested? With about a minute here, how well attested is Tacitus, that probably most well-known of these ancient documents, accounted as history, not the Iliad, that doesn't claim to be history. How well attested is it?
It is, as you probably already know, not very well attested. We really only have two manuscripts, and I mean two and only two manuscripts. One of them covering the first half of his annals, which was written in about 850, and the other one covering the second half of his annals, which was written around 1050. Only two. And then there's a lot of 15th century copies of those two, but what we're basing our confidence in Tacitus on is only two manuscripts compared again with thousands of manuscripts of the New Testament.
Dr. Clay Jones is our guest, and we come back 10 more minutes with him on this Tuesday afternoon, the 3rd of July. We're talking about the New Testament and other ancient manuscripts, comparing and contrasting them. He's associate professor in the Master of Arts in Christian Apologetics program at Biola University in La Mirada, California.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Beth and I were looking for some summer tutoring services for our two middle school children. We shopped around and scheduled an appointment with Sabrina at Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville. Justin and Emily were thoroughly tested and are currently taking classes for math and reading comprehension. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville, 656-0500, Shiloh, 628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur, 997-3035. Avoid summer learning loss, Sylvan Learning.
Often you'll hear an apologist say there are more manuscripts of the New Testament than any other book from the ancient world, therefore we can trust it. Well, what they don't tell you is that, yes, we have these thousands of manuscripts, but no two of them are exactly alike, and that, in fact, the differences in these manuscripts are more numerous than the words of the New Testament. So you have apologists who want to make these claims, but they don't tell you the full story.
It's an excerpt from one of my interviews with Bart Ehrman, author of books like Misquoting Jesus and Forged. We're talking about New Testament and other ancient manuscripts. Dr. Clay Jones is our guest. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jones, another one I'd like you to mention is the Tetralogies manuscript of Plato, which is remarkable in both its date, the time gap there, and in the kind of explosion of extant manuscripts. Talk about that.
Yes, I think if you ask people regard the average guy on the street, now I'm thinking of, I mean, the average guy on the street, if you mention Herodotus or they'll know Homer, but if you mention the works of Herodotus or Sophocles or Livy, let's face it, an awful lot of guys on the street are going to go, who? Most of them are going to go, oh yeah, Plato, yeah, I've heard of Plato. But really, when you look at exactly what we have in Plato and compare it again with the New Testament, we have the gap between when Plato was actually penned his work, which they figure is somewhere around 400 BC, the earliest manuscript we have is from 895 AD. So we're looking at basically 1,300 years or more in the gap between, you know, our first copy to from when it was penned. That's huge. And then although the copies are very good for Plato, we only have 210 of them. There's only 210 manuscripts, as again compared to almost 6,000 New Testament manuscripts in Greek, and then again adding in the fact that the New Testament was right away translated into Latin, Slavic, Syriac, you know, Coptic, and Armenian, etc. There's just, if you're going to say I trust Homer or I trust Plato or I trust whatever, Sophocles or Tacitus or whoever, if you're going to say I trust them, well, you just have to, if you're just going to be intellectually honest and consistent, have to trust the New Testament.
What is the earliest manuscript that we have of the New Testament? Piece, fragment, whatever it may be. How early does it really go?
Well, the earliest that is absolutely positively beyond a shadow of a doubt verified would be the John Ryland's papyri, which is from the Gospel of John. It's just a fragment, but it is certainly, lets us know, it's certainly unequivocally from the Gospel of John. And at the latest, most scholars, and Ehrman himself, at least the old Ehrman, if he hasn't changed his mind recently, would have dated it around 130 at the oldest. Some people are dating it in the 115, 16, 17, something like that. Boy, that's pretty close. There is a lot of buzz right now that it's, you'll find if you Google it, that Daniel Wallace has mentioned, as, among others, that we may have now a first century fragment from the Book of Mark, and there's a lot of hubbub about that. I don't personally, until that's all verified, I don't use that. I didn't reference it. I did in a footnote, just make a reference that it might be coming. But at the very least, we have something from no later than, say, AD 130, a fragment of the Gospel of John that confirms that gospel.
Okay, so let's just be as magnanimous as possible and say, okay, let's say that John wrote it early. Most people believe he wrote it late, but let's say John wrote it early. So the actual autograph itself could be, say, let's say 60, just for the sake of argument.
Yeah,
we're still talking about a And let's put the latest date on it. Bart Ehrman's latest date is 130, give or take 25 years. Let's add the 25 years and say it's actually, you know, 155. We are still talking about a copy 100 years from its autograph.
Right. And I think those dates are, I think it's a lot closer than that. I suspect with a lot, most scholars that, that John probably wrote it. You know, they're in a, the scholars, or skeptical scholars are in a bind because if they say, if they say that John wrote his gospel much later, let's say around 90, which is what I think, well, that moves it much closer to our original manuscript. But if they say John wrote it much earlier, well, then it's difficult for them because then they're admitting that it's even more difficult for their, to been any corruption of it. So it's kind of, the skeptics lose on this one either way they go. But I think probably you're looking at this John passage probably being within about 40 years of when it was actually penned, which is amazing. And like I say, as I mentioned with Homer, we really have a 400-year gap with Homer, and we have a 1,300-year gap with Plato. And so if you're going to say these other documents are reliable, I think you're forced to admit that the New Testament has been reliably transmitted.
So the picture here that it sounds like you're painting is we have the autographs when they were written. They are almost immediately.
Oh, yes.
Copies are being produced immediately for dissemination, for circulation. A little bit later in the post-apostolic period, we actually have them bound, in the case of the Gospels, bound into books together. They travel together.
Right.
You know, they're literally sewn together. And then copies into different languages, multiplying.
Right away. If everybody just thinks about it for a minute, I mean, people are regarding, you know, most of, you know, Sophocles is, or Plato or whatever, they're going, yeah, this is good literature. But remember, even if you disagree with the early Christians' mindset, even if you say the early Christian was wrong about Jesus being raised from the dead, the early Christian believed that these were the words of life, that this was the key to salvation, that we needed to get this out to everybody. So, of course, it makes sense that they would just start copying it immediately. That's why, also, I mentioned that you have so few that you don't really start seeing Homer translated into Latin until, well, about 900, somewhere around 900, if memory serves, A.D., and that's just because it was looked at as, yeah, it's an interesting poetry, interesting myth, you know, we might tell it to our children at bedtime, but it's not, you know, I mean, it's not something we desperately need to get into everybody's hands because it's not containing the words of life, it's just a lot of interesting stories or fun stories.
The thing I found most interesting and kind of exciting about this entire subject is that it's textual criticism, as it's called here, looking at all these manuscripts and comparing them, it's not a finished art or science. We are still finding manuscripts.
We certainly are still finding them, and there's no, that is unquestionable. They're still turning up manuscripts, and that's not going to stop for a long, long time, because people will go through, they find them in the weirdest places. And I'm not at liberty to discuss where they're finding them, but they're just finding some artifacts and other things where they're finding another trove of ancient manuscripts. So by no means are we done.
And we should point out also before we're done here that here we're talking about manuscripts of the texts themselves. We haven't even really discussed the many times that these ancient texts are quoted in other documents.
Yeah, that's basically everybody has agreed that you could reproduce essentially the entire, and even, again, Metzger and Ehrman agreed in the 2005 redo of the book that they wrote together, that you could basically reproduce almost the entire New Testament from the works of early church fathers who thought, you know, we just quote it in commentaries and homilies that they were doing and whatnot. So, yeah, absolutely. You could. That's another way that you can verify the reliability of the New Testament. And again, it succeeds with flying colors.
So with a few minutes here, Dr. Jones, how would you summarize the bibliographical test, that argument there brought up to date for our listeners?
Brought up to date, just that nothing has changed. I mean, we've been using the bibliographical test for many years now. I think John Wark Montgomery was maybe perhaps the first to really bring it into the minds of the Christian many, many years ago in the 60s, as a matter of fact, 1960s. But I remember in 1973, somebody walking in and handing me, I'd never seen it before, I was sitting in class in high school, it tells you how old I am, and walking in and handing me Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, and I couldn't have been any more excited than if they'd somebody had handed me a gold bar, because I was a Christian, and that's exactly the kind of information I was looking for. The bibliographical test does tell us that the New Testament has been accurately transmitted to our day, that we can have confidence in it, contrary to the village atheist or village skeptic who wants to say, oh, you can't trust it. We can trust it, and that hasn't changed, and the Christian can have complete confidence in it today. And to do otherwise, we'd have to throw out all the works of antiquity, because that's what you'd have to do if you're going to be consistent and say, we just don't know anything about history. And, of course, the radical, fearful, paranoid skeptic will sometimes make such a gesture, but that's crazy talk. To say we know nothing about history is just crazy talk.
Dr. Clay Jones is Associate Professor in the Master of Arts in Christian Apologetics program at Biola University in La Mirada, California, author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled The Bibliographical Test Updated. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be with you, Todd.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this 3rd of July. Dr. Jennifer Oback Morris is going to join us. There is a bill in California, a lot of things like this start in California, of course, a bill in California that would allow children to have more than two parents. Now, we know how it usually works. You get mom and dad, but of course, with the advent of same-sex marriage, the legal entities need to be created. It's always dangerous when we start creating new legal categories, but here's one that has to be created. If you're going to have a mom and a dad, which is the biological necessity, but then dad is going to marry another dad or mom is going to marry another mom, well, how many parents is the kid going to have? In California, they say children should be able to have more than two legal parents. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse of the Ruth Institute. Then we're going to spend the better part of Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon talking about your conscience. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller has written an interesting article titled Something's Gone Wrong, The Four Things Your Conscience Knows. We'll talk with him about your conscience in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. That starts in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.